Hey, I wanted to jump in real quick before we get started on today's podcast episode, just to tell you that if you're listening to this, when this episode comes out, then you are in store for a huge treat because this Thursday, January 14th, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Pacific, I'm going live on my YouTube channel to do a live Q&A with Dave, Laundromat Millionaire Men's, and also super special guest, probably the most influential person in the laundromat industry right now, the president and CEO of the Coin Laundry Association, Brian Wallace, will be joining us, answering your questions, helping you succeed in your laundromat business. So whether you own laundromats now or you're looking to buy your first one, you cannot miss this live Q&A. It's going to be on my YouTube Thursday, January 14th, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Pacific time, and you can ask your questions there. My YouTube is youtube.com/laundromatresource. Make sure you head over there, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you'll be notified when we're live, and come ask your questions to two of the greatest minds in the industry, and I'll be there too. All right, we'll see you guys there. Let's jump into this podcast episode because it's a winner. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show number 38, and I'm pumped that you're here because today we have an awesome guest. His name is Jacob Workman, and you may have seen him around on YouTube. He's got the YouTube channel There I Fixed It. He talks a lot about his laundromat on that channel. He's showing the real true life of a laundromat owner. So if you haven't checked it out yet, go over to YouTube and search There I Fixed It. I'll definitely have a link to this and everything else that we talk about in this episode in the description down below if you're on YouTube or on the podcast description, or you can check all of this out at laundromatresource.com/show38. Jacob Workman today, and I cannot wait for you to hear this interview. It's awesome. He's got a lot of really, really great stuff to tell you, and his story is very cool, and his YouTube channel also very cool. You got to check it out. Okay, success tip. I have a success tip for you, and it's this. It's going to sound like something that I always say, and it is something that I always say, but you need to get on the forums. Head over to laundromatresource.com/forums. There's a lot of activity happening over there. In fact, this week, it was pretty cool. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on over there this week. There's a lot of posts that were posted, a lot of questions that are being asked, a lot of discussions being had. So don't get left out. Be on, go get involved in those discussions. It's how you learn. It's how you grow. And it's also how you give back. And I want to say, well, also, I mean, we had Brandon Understall, who is guest on show number 7. I'll link that one too, because it was killer show. It gets referenced all the time. And in fact, it got brought up on the forums, and Brandon made an appearance over there this week. And not only did he help out with the question, but he dropped his phone number right in the forum post. So man, get a hold of Brandon, pick his brain. He dropped his phone number in the forum. So at least, you know, give him a prank call at 3 a.m. or something. What's up, Brandon? just kidding. Don't do that. But seriously, awesome dude. He knows his business inside and out. He's second generation there. So go pick his brain. A lot of cool stuff happening. So make sure every week you're at least going over there and asking one question, answering one question, getting involved in the discussion, introducing yourself on the introduction form, all that. Okay. But I want to say, you need to be involved over there. And especially if you're a current owner, it's going to benefit you to be involved helping out other owners and people who are trying to buy their first laundromat. And it's not, I said this already, but it's not in my nature to be cryptic, but I can't really talk about it more, and I can't really talk about why. but seriously, last week, I think I said, get on the email list. You're going to want to be on the email list. And it was a little bit cryptic. This week, I'm saying, get involved in the forums, especially if you're already a current laundromat owner. It's going to benefit you. There's some very cool things kind of coming down the pipeline. And it just, man, just take my word for it. You don't want to be left behind. You're going to want to jump on this train. It's going to be very, very cool. So get over there and get involved in the community if you haven't yet. If you have, awesome. It's been very, very cool to see everything going on over there on the forum. So, okay, enough of that. I really want to jump into it with Jacob today because it's an awesome interview. You're going to love it. Make sure you grab a paper and a pen or your favorite note-taking app. And let's jump into it right after this.
If your laundromat is not online, you're losing business. Customers increasingly decide who to trust with their laundry by the quality of your web presence. But creating a professional logo and website that instills trust in potential customers and can be found on page one of Google can be difficult to create on your own and expensive to purchase through a traditional marketing company. As part of our mission to help laundromat owners succeed and find financial freedom through laundromat ownership, we are launching our Done For You marketing service tailored specifically for laundromats. After ranking number one on Google with our own laundromat website and consulting with many others to help them do the same, we guarantee that we can build you a professional website that ranks on page one of Google within 6 months. Our joint expertise in the laundry industry and over 15 combined years in website design and online marketing allow us to offer affordable, transparent pricing for a high-quality web presence for your laundromats. You invest so much into providing your customers a quality laundry experience. Don't let anyone miss out on what you have to offer simply because they can't find you online. Let Laundromat Resource Marketing take care of your online presence so you can take care of your customers. Visit laundromatresource.com/getonline today for more information. That's laundromatresource.com/getonline or click on the link in the description.
Well, hey, Jacob, thank you for coming on the show. I've been super excited to have you on because I've been watching you on your YouTube channel. We'll get to that in a little bit, but man, it's an honor to have you on. I'm really excited. Can't wait to hear your story. So thanks for coming on, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Like I said, I've been watching you for a while, so it's pretty cool to be able to interact. We're still on a screen, obviously, but it's cool to interact with you this time.
Yeah, so, it's finally nice to have the camera talking back to me. So,
yeah, I bet. Well, cool. I mean, I can't wait to hear about your experience with your laundromat and also your experience on YouTube. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and then we'll get into how you got into this crazy industry.
My name's Jacob. I'm from East Tennessee, not too far from Knoxville, about northeast Knoxville. I'm married. I got a child on the way, fixing to have it here in, I think, February.
All right.
So we're pretty excited about that.
I have it on good authority that February babies are the best babies.
Oh, yeah. Just hopefully, hopefully she'll be interested in the laundromat and I can have me a little helper later on in the future. That's what I'm hoping.
That's right. You know,
I've been in the laundromat industry for 13 years, owned one for 3 years. So yeah, just going with the flow. Just this past year, I decided after, just fixing things all the time. I got this bad habit. I love to buy broke stuff and fix it. I didn't realize I had this problem until someone pointed it out to me, but now I've embraced it. So I decided to start a YouTube channel and, just put everything out there, laundromat. So
yeah, well, it's cool. It's a really cool channel. It's what I would probably term as infotainment, because it's entertaining just to kind of see you doing your thing at the laundromat. But I also learn a lot just from watching, your channel and watching what you're doing with the channel. And it's, some of the stuff that happens is like, oh my gosh. And, I relate to a lot of there, and I'm sure a lot of people will relate to it.
Oh, so yeah.
We'll definitely, we'll talk a little bit more about the channel here in a little bit. And we're going to link that channel. So, in the show notes, or if you're on YouTube in the description, make sure you go check out the channel and subscribe to it and hit that bell for him. Cause his channel is getting some traction and deservedly so. So, all right. So, okay. You intrigued me. You said you've been in the laundromat industry for 13 years and you've owned one for 3 years. What's going on those 10 years before you owned one?
Well, those 10 years, I was, I was just still in high school. I was my senior year in high school. My parents found a deal. We were in West Virginia at the time. They found a deal in Tennessee, decided to move down here and chase after that deal. Turns out it was a zombie mat, and I think it was a zombie mat before the term was coined. But yeah, I think out of 16 dryers, only one worked. So we dove in head first, just, you know, fixing everything. And when I say dryers, I'm talking 40-year-old dryers. So we really got our hands dirty. And I helped them ever since and still helping them to this day. And then just recently, yeah, well, 3 years ago, I happened upon this, swore I'd never get into laundromats after, you know, seeing those things that you talk about on my YouTube channel. But I guess the bug bit me there, and I've been in it and trying to expand as quick as I can.
Yeah. Oh man, you got bit. All right. There's a lot to unpack in there. So let's go back to, hold on. Did your parents move states to buy a laundromat, a zombie laundromat? Is that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They moved states and left me behind. Okay. It was fortunate. I lived my senior year by myself. I'd come down here on the weekends, help them with the laundromat back up there. Oh yeah.
What is happening?
My parents trusted me. So,
oh man. Okay. This story just keeps getting better. Okay. So your parents, how did they find this laundromat out of state?
They've had property down here forever. I believe my uncle was down here and he happened on it for sale. He told them they were already looking at a restaurant at the time back home. And I'm so glad that they did not go that route. I don't want to deal with restaurants, and B, who knows, I might not be in the laundry industry now, and you know, my YouTube channel could be about something completely different.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Okay, so your uncle found it, told your parents about it. They said, you know what, we're going to abandon Jacob and we're going to move out of state and buy a zombie laundromat. How did you feel about that as a senior with your parents abandoning you?
Stoked.
Yeah, oh, you're excited, of course.
I was excited. Plus, there was all kinds of broke stuff for me to fix. I mean, I've been doing this since I was a little kid. I just realized I had a problem the past couple of years.
It's kind of like a fish realizing it's in water.
You've been
living that life and didn't even realize it. Yeah. Okay. So they bought this zombie laundromat. I don't know how much of the details you know, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about it. Did they get in there and, you know, work with the existing equipment, or did they put new equipment in? What did they do?
Yeah, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I know we visited the laundromat way back in the day before it ever moved. Then it moved. So it's got near new infrastructure, same old 40-year-old machines. They started taking it over. The dryers they kept forever just because they're well-built, they're tanks. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, like, they got so hot that there was almost multiple fires. There was no kind of temperature control on them whatsoever. So we finally got them replaced for them. But yeah, they've just been slowly adding new equipment, slowly, you know. If they finally got rid of the older Waska mats, I introduced them to Speed Queen. You know, they had the old timer systems, you know, because, you know, they're old timey.
Yeah.
They like the old equipment. I'm like, hey, you ever heard of a computer? Here you go. So they love it. But I'm the one that has to go over there and program everything for them and set it all up. And
well, that's your fault.
What's this? Oh, it's my fault. Yeah. But it's so, you know, it's so much easier.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Time out, because this story just keeps getting crazier and crazier. Are you trying to tell me that they moved the laundromat at some point, or like before they took over?
They didn't move it. The previous owner had just moved it probably maybe a year ago or a year prior before to them buying it. Yeah. And then something happened with him and he decided he wanted to sell it. So it's like I said, it's, you know, 14-year-old infrastructure, but still the same old 40 machines when they took it over.
Holy cow. Okay. So the previous owner, I mean, it's not easy and it's not cheap to move a laundromat, but not only did they move it, but they moved this super old equipment and just threw it in a new location.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you why. I mean, the guy personally, but I could not tell you why. And now at the old place, there's a drugstore. So I'm not entirely sure why they moved it. It's maybe got 1,000 more square feet, a little bit better place. But overall, I don't know if it'd been worth his money, but you never know. He was also the mayor of the town. So that helps with, you know, little things, utility stuff, but especially a small town of like 3,000 people.
Yeah. Well, maybe he had a lease issue too. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be.
Maybe it was closer to his house and he just wanted to roll out of bed and roll
He got about a half mile closer.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, so. Okay. So let me just recap where we're at so far. Your uncle tells your parents about a laundromat for sale. They decide we're going to abandon Jacob in his senior year of high school and go take over this zombie laundromat with old equipment. We're going to uproot ourselves. You finish your senior year of high school on your own, basically living on your own. Then what happened?
The day after high school, like literally the morning after I graduated, I packed up the U-Haul and we left. I've been in Tennessee ever since. And then from there, we just, you know, I worked, I helped them with the laundromat. Really didn't do much with the laundromat. They had a small wash, dry, fold. I'd help them on Sunday mornings with that. And that's one of the things that really said I'd never touch a laundromat. I had this one customer that I'd always sit in the office and he'd roll around and he would lay on his horn until I came out to get his clothes and or deliver his clothes to him, whichever one. And that was one of the boxes that was ticked that I said I'd never own a laundromat, but you see where I'm at now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, let's just be blunt about it. It was your fault for saying you'd never own a laundromat. I mean, you never I'll never do something because that's what you're going to end up doing. So again, your fault for doing that. Okay. So you uproot the day after high school and you're living in Tennessee now. And kind of helping the family a little bit, but not wanting a whole lot to do with the business.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So what did you do if you weren't at the laundromat full time? Did you get a job? Did you go to school? What'd you do?
I got a job, you know, cause that's what any high or any teenager does. But, I've always been an entrepreneur. It goes back to when I was a little kid, still, I was making money in grade school, got in trouble by the principal, but that's enough about school. me and my dad, I've always helped him build houses and stuff. Any project they were doing, I was right in there with them. So I ended up we purchased a lot, and me and my dad went in on halves on a general contracting business. I purchased a lot. I got my contractor's license. From there, we built spec homes. We built about three before our market kind of ceased off. And my last house sat on the market for 2 years before me and my wife moved into it. And then things kind of just fizzled out. I mean, I gained a rental from a rental property the home we were living in. And we moved to it. We gained a rental property. And from there, I just got a different job in the trucking industry and just kind of put on cruise control for a little bit, you know, figuring life out.
Yeah, man. Crazy. Okay. I mean, that's pretty cool. I love that you had sort of this entrepreneurship inside of you and that you just kind of went for it. I know, you know, any entrepreneur journey's got those ups and downs and all arounds, and never ever have I heard of a straight line entrepreneurship journey. So sounds like this is no exception. Okay. So did you do that for how long? How long were you doing that?
That lasted about 3 years. What we would do is we'd buy the property. It takes about 6 months to build the house, take us anywhere from just a month to 3 months to sell the house and then repeat the process. Like I said, it went great until our third house and it fizzled out. And it was one of those areas it was in. It just, the area was great. And then for some reason it went south. Mm. And so, but fortunately I'm now out under that house. When me and my wife built our current one we live in, that one sold within 24 hours of listing it. So that was a godsend.
Yeah. Should ask for more money.
Yeah. My realtors, you know, she was adamant about waiting, but I accepted the first offer I got because
just go.
Yeah. You're 2 years was enough for me.
Hey man, I feel you on that one. So no, I'm with you. Okay. So after that, what did you end up doing? Did you get a job at that point or?
Oh yeah. I had, gotten into the trucking industry. But in the meantime, I still did stuff on the side. A lot of times I would buy cars and I'd flip them. I think by the time I was 23, I owned 33 or 35 cars.
Whoa.
I had bought and flipped. And then I got into jet skis. I started buying them, parting them out. Very lucrative market right there. You wouldn't imagine what people pay for a 23-year-old part. I mean, it's astronomical, but seems like everybody caught on to that trend and Craigslist kind of fizzled out. And you had all this Facebook Marketplace stuff and they still ain't got their stuff all together yet. Right. So I kind of went out of that. I continued it with my job. I wasn't at that point. I didn't know if I wanted to make a career out of my job or if I wanted to work for myself. I'm still at that job today. It's a great job.
With the trucking, company.
Okay. I'm able to work a week on, week off. So it works out great. Like I said, 3 years ago, we decided to get in the laundromat, and that's what we've been doing ever since.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so let's talk about that laundromat. What convinced you, like after your experience with laundromats, that you actually were going to go buy a laundromat, despite the quote that I wrote down that said, and I quote, "I'll never own a laundromat." So yeah. What convinced you to buy one?
I skipped a part. It involves my parents again. Well,
okay.
Like I said, you know, I flip jet skis, I flip cars. So that meant I'm all the time on Craigslist, Facebook, OfferUp, everything else, looking for deals. I ran across a laundromat not 20 miles from their house that they wanted $10,000 for. So I was like, I sent that to them. They went and looked at it. They bought that one. So I've helped with that one. Same thing with this one down here. I was in the market, in the marketplace looking around, found a laundromat just, you know, again, 20 miles from them or from us. And, this time around, I thought about buying it or I sent it to them, you know, say, y'all buy this, it'd be a great investment for you. They toyed around the idea. They didn't, you know, really want to take on a third laundromat. So we ended up partnering with somebody. We got an investor to come in. I don't know if you've seen my free laundromat video because the free laundromat is going rampant. And this one truly, me and my wife completely own it wholly. We're just basically paying back our debtor there. But they fronted every bit of the cash. Did not need a dime out of our pocket. And we acquired us a laundromat.
That's awesome. Did you, I mean, I'm going to link to that particular video also, cause I know that people will go watch that one. Cause you know, with my coaching calls and stuff, one of the biggest questions I get and on my YouTube channel, one of the biggest questions I get is, you know, about the free laundromat. So,
There needs to be a little asterisk there. It's never free.
Yeah, that's right.
There, it's going to cost you somewhere, whether it's work ethic or, you know, later on down the road, some money. It's not really that free.
Yeah. Well, And I think, you know, go check out this video because I think it will be informative if you're someone who's looking for a free laundromat. But let's talk about this investor that you brought in. I think that's like the, you know, everybody's looking for that fabled investor that's going to come front the money for a laundromat. So was that somebody that you knew already, like a family friend or somebody in the family or something? Or
it's somebody we've known for a while. Okay. It really, I guess they were looking for something to invest in. And it was just two people met at a great time. I know it's one of those very sought after things that you never hear of, but grace of God, we got us a 100% investor. And they, like I said, they fronted all the money. They knew the game plan. They knew what we had planned. And it was really a, they knew we were going to be able to make money from the way it had been running. So that's why it helped us out a lot.
Yeah. So can I ask you, how did you guys make that connection that, hey, I have money and hey, I have this laundromat deal and some experience in this industry. Let's put our resources together and make this deal happen. How did that connection happen?
Honestly, it was just one of those things, you know, that I mentioned the idea and, I guess they just trusted me enough and we were able to sit down and show them our plan, everything like that. And just basically asking, you know, we asked and they said, let's do it.
Yeah.
Never and I think,
oh, good. Sorry.
It never hurts to ask. Never a stupid question.
Yeah. And I think what you just said is the key is you need to let people know what you're looking for and what, you know, what you have planned and what you're looking for, what you need to make it happen. Cause I think, you know, a lot of times we get caught up with like, ah, man, it feels weird asking for money. And it does feel weird asking for money, but that's not really what you did. What you did was you said, hey, I have this opportunity. It's an opportunity for me and it's an opportunity for someone else who has money to make, put their money to work for them.
Exactly.
Right? And that's what you basically did, right? Is present an opportunity for them. And for the people who ask me all the time, like, how do I find somebody who wants to, you know, invest in me and, you know, in my laundromat deal. Well, kind of the key to it is for one, have a plan going into it. And for two, you got to let people know that's what you're doing. Right.
Exactly. And yeah.
I'm sure you've seen this through your YouTube channel. I know I've seen it through my YouTube channel and through my podcast, but just kind of putting myself out there, that's when you start to find, you know, opportunities because people know what you're doing and want to be a part of it. Right. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the one thing is, you know, if you're going to do something, make sure you have your plan put together. Just like this house we just built, we built it 2 years ago. When I walked in the bank just to talk to them, I already had, you know, my house plans drawn out. I had my material list, how much it was going to cost me, how much, you know, overflow I might have. And when we sat down at the bank, both the bankers were just amazed. And that right there started a great relationship with him. And now he's the vice president of the bank. So, you know, last time I was in there, he sought me out in the crowd and come out and chit chatted. So I might have me a potential, you know, a little bit of money right there if I ever need it.
Yep.
You always, you know, have a good relationship with your banks. That's really going to help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the same. I mean, it's the same concept, right? Like you put yourself out there and you built a relationship with this bank and there's the opportunity again. And who knows where that's going to lead down the line. Cause that seems like a pretty good person to have a good relationship with.
Networking's where it's at.
Yep. Yep. And it's mutually beneficial, right? That bank, you know, benefits from you when in your wisdom, your experience in running businesses, you know, then they're going to benefit from it. Cause when they lend you money, they're going to make money too. So
exactly.
That's awesome.
As long as everybody makes money, you'll be in a good place.
Yeah. Everybody's happy. Right. Okay. So how did you, this particular laundromat? Okay. I mean, geez, man, you're just throwing all this stuff at me. Okay. So you're finding like laundromats for sale on like the Facebook marketplace. Is that what you said?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I still to this day, every day on Facebook, Craigslist, everything, looking at laundromats, going and driving for laundromats. I don't know if you've ever heard for driving for dollars for real estate. Yeah, you can apply that same thing to laundromats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I tell people that all the time, like, hey, drive around and look at laundromats and look at laundromats that are run down. Go talk to those owners. Go let them know what you're looking for. Cause that's where the opportunities come.
But yeah. You don't know why somebody's going to get out. I mean, I know there's, somebody made a 10-point list. I think it might have been Dave Menz. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, these people, they got in over their head. They had the opportunity to snatch it up for dirt cheap. They weren't checking on it. It was running unattended, still ran unattended. But they weren't checking on it for weeks at a time. like literally there was a gap, a week gap, that they did not go and clean this place, take money out or anything like that.
How? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It,
I do not want to go into a laundromat that hasn't been cleaned in a week. I'll tell you that right now.
You talk about getting over a reputation.
Yeah.
We fought tooth and toenail on that one.
Yeah. No kidding, man. Sometimes I'm nervous to go into my laundromat when it hasn't been cleaned in 8 hours, let alone a week. Jeez, man.
Yeah, I just did that today. I cleaned it at like 4:30 this morning. I had to stop by and get something. And of course, there's customers there. You're not going to walk into your laundromat and not try to do something to make it look a little bit better. So, right.
Yeah. Jeez. Crazy. Okay. So dude, I love this. You're on Facebook Marketplace. You're on Craigslist. You're driving for, I don't know, I was trying to think of a clever saying, but I guess you're just driving for laundromats there.
You could say driving for coins.
Driving for quarters. I love it.
Yes. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. Good. We worked that one out. Nice. That's a thing now. Driving for quarters.
Driving for quarters.
Yeah. We'll make it famous. Like Bigger Pockets made driving for dollars.
Exactly.
Famous. Yeah. yeah. Okay. So, I love this. I love what you're doing. You know, my coaching calls and stuff, I talk to people all the time who want to get in the business. And I think that a lot of people have this like assumption that, you know, deals should just fall in their lap. Once they kind of know they want a laundromat, it should just kind of show up and be a good deal. And yeah, it should be easy. And it's not easy. Or at least you shouldn't anticipate it being easy. If it is, awesome, bonus cherry on top there. But it's not easy. And to find the really good deals, this is the kind of stuff you need to be doing. You need to be talking to owners. You need to be searching on Facebook and Craigslist. And I didn't even know Facebook had laundromats for sale on it. So kudos to you.
It's very hard to find laundromats if you're searching for laundromats on Facebook, especially in a marketplace where like mine, you know, all our laundromats are spread out. I have to search, you know, it's not a very good algorithm. So you kind of have to spell it wrong. You have to spell it weird.
Right.
You have to do just everything. And then you have to take out all that little stuff that'll ship to you because it's going to show you all kinds of stuff for your home washer and dryer that you don't want to see, but
right, yeah.
You know, every now and then you'll find a gem, but most time it's Craigslist or a lot of time it's off market.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I mean, awesome, awesome tips on how to find a laundromat for sale. Man, killer. I'm just going to record this or like take this little clip and just send it to people when they ask me. Here, just watch this. This is how you go find one. All right, cool. So you found this laundromat, and what was it about this particular one that made you think, okay, let's do it?
Location. You know, like I said, I'd already been involved in my parents, so I already knew what to kind of look for, but really had no idea how to run the business. So just location. The town it's in, it's just rampantly growing. The manufacturing jobs are just, I mean, booming. It's pretty much boomed throughout the pandemic. Like I said, I work at the truck industry. I work at one of the largest facilities for the second largest LTL carrier. So, I mean, we see 8 million pounds of freight a day come through there, and a good million of it comes from my area. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, what was it about the location that was attractive for you? Or like, what should other people be looking for in a good location?
For me, I like shopping centers. I think the only reason I'd ever like a standalone is if it ever flooded, I could just say, screw it. And, you know, I didn't have to rush down there,
mm-hmm.
but my current laundromat, when it floods, I've got neighbors instantly calling, you know, saying, hey, our carpet's wet. Which I went around trying to, you know, fix that. I wish when they had built the laundromat, they had done that. But I think I've got the problem remedy that if I couldn't get down there quick enough, that it might flow out the front door. They never put drains in the floor or anything like that. They had some sump pumps rigged up, but that's not going to do anything.
Right.
But that I've always looked for shopping centers. But never really, I wouldn't ever go for a standalone because your customers are there to do their laundry. They're not there to have fun. They're already there doing a task they don't most likely don't like. So, I mean, if you've got a Dollar General next door, Walmart, anything like that, they can, you know, put their clothes in, they can go do some shopping. You know, that's going to get you some volume in your store.
Yeah. And you're not having to be the sole reason people are coming to, you know, that location. Exactly. I have one in a shopping center and one standalone. The standalone one works because it's in like the community. But you know, we have to generate that traffic. There's nobody, no other stores, you know, generating traffic for us. We got to generate it all ourselves. Right. So for sure.
Yeah. I see that. And something that's worked out for this location that I never, you know, dreamed of. There's a pet clinic next door. That's an emergency pet clinic. So they're only open on nights and weekends. Mm. And now since COVID has hit, they don't let anyone in. They have been having people park in front of their business and in front of my laundromat. Doesn't affect my parking because they have separate parking that just, you know, makes things easier for them. But it's pretty much having a non-paid security guard in front of my laundromat. You know, somebody sitting out in their car just letting it idle. Only the crackheads that broke in a couple of weeks ago is going to try something like that.
Right. Yeah. I am surprised sometimes at how bold some of these guys are.
Oh, yeah.
The day stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. You're talking, these did it at 10:30 in the morning. In front of a UPS man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've definitely had people trying to bust into coin boxes and stuff with customers there, and people just kind of like stare at them like,
That's my favorite thing. Our vending machine, it was one of the ones that got broke into. We had a gentleman come in, open it up, take the soap out he needed, and then leave the money inside of it and shut it back. Never once called me. And my number's like plastered right there. So
that's crazy. That's crazy. Okay. So that's what makes a good location. That's, yeah. Okay. So you mentioned that you feel like you don't really know, or you didn't really know how to run a laundromat. So what'd you do when you got the keys for the first time? What was that like? And what'd you start with?
Just ran through and started cleaning and decluttering. Something you'll notice when you buy, if you ever get to purchase a laundromat, or if you have a laundromat, it starts getting cluttered with stuff over time. I'm going to have to de-junk mine pretty soon. We just started de-junking. We started these little homemade signs that they had. We got rid of those, you know, tried making things more professional looking, just really things. If you went in a laundromat, you'd want to see, we try to do, absolutely hated the floors, but there wasn't nothing we could do about that for now or at that point in time. We started cleaning up, making things look nicer. The main thing was keep it clean because it had such a terrible reputation. And now I clean at night just so I'm not in anyone's way because our volume has picked up and it is a bowling alley store. So I can easily get in someone's way. But then we'd go, you know, try to clean it during the day. That way we could talk to our customers, you know, let them know that we were the new owners. It was under new management. You know, things were going to be different, and just, you know, slowly showed our customers that we cared about the business. We were going to do something about the business. And that's how you keep your customers happy. Just keep improving your business.
Yeah. Did you do anything to get new customers in? Did you do any marketing efforts, or did you do any promotions or anything like that? Or just word of mouth?
Mostly word of mouth, but we also did several Facebook ads. Like I said, I was new in the business, so, you know, I didn't think anything about direct marketing, anything like that. A lot of people knew it was there, and a lot of people knew it was a dirty place. So just once we started painting, paint goes a long way. These people had painted it when they took it over, but they painted it the most terrible color. It was already a terrible color, but they painted even more terrible color. So we went with white walls or blue, you know, accents. Just white always screams clean. That's why hospitals paint their walls white.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to touch up. You don't have to get the exact brand and stuff. So, but we started painting and just did it from there. Just started making little changes. And biggest thing is also make sure all your machines are working.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge. Especially if you have a store that where they haven't worked for a really long time.
Exactly.
just keeping them working is solid, but it, you know, it can also be easier said than done. Sometimes, oh, yeah. Especially if you have older machines, they tend to break down a lot. Are you the one working on machines?
I am. If I can't do something by myself, I'll holler at my dad, but most time it's solely me that's tackling everything, from anything from bearing jobs to getting up on the roof and cleaning out the ducts with, you know, I've also got another bad habit. If I don't have the tool, I buy it. And having the laundromat has,
man.
Exactly. Having the laundromat has afforded me that. And it's also, you know, I deducted on taxes sometimes. So, yeah, anything from, like I said, barren jobs to if I needed to go in tomorrow and rip up the floor, I'd be all for it.
Yeah. 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 I watched your bearing job video. It's like one of your more popular videos, actually. Yeah. I think people are always looking to figure out how to do that. So how did you learn how to work on the equipment? Or is it just because you've just been fixing things?
Hey, fixing things. And we got thrown, like I said, I got thrown into it when I was a senior in high school, you know, 16 dryers and only one working. That doesn't make good for a good combination. So. And then these are the old dryers that have the chain mechanisms. I mean, you know, you're talking real technical stuff, and really, I've been blessed with this ability that I can just look at something and figure out how it works. That's carried me a long way.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I could definitely see how, you know, having that propensity would definitely benefit someone who, you know, wants to get in this business and fix their own machines. Do you think, out of curiosity, do you think someone needs to know how to fix machines or needs to at least be willing to learn how to fix machines to get in this business? Or can you do it without doing that?
You can do it without. It's going to cost you. But if you can figure out how to do the simple things, it'll save you a maintenance call. It'll save you somebody coming out to do it. It'll save you quite a bit of money, most likely. I've never had to have a service person out, but I can just imagine what it costs. If you can figure out how to do your belts, simple computer swaps, and just be able to learn how to troubleshoot and program your machines, that goes a long ways. I see some people that they call the technician out to program their machines. And for me, that's something simple to learn that would save you quite a bit of money.
Yeah. It's definitely expensive having people even just come out to look at your stuff, let alone do the work. So
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I've got a water heater I've got to install. Well, I don't get to install it because the city I'm in requires a licensed plumber. I'm not a licensed plumber. So unfortunately, I'm not going to get to do that job, but I kind of ain't upset because it's like a 600-pound water heater that needs lifted over a trough. So,
oh, come on. You just throw that thing on your back and you're good.
Yeah. I'm not too terribly upset.
Yeah. Yeah. Let him deal with it. That's good. And you can watch it and you'll learn how to do it from watching them. I'm sure that's how I learned how to do a lot of my stuff.
Yeah. If you do have technicians, make sure you watch them, ask them questions, pick their brain. So that's, if you're already paying for it, you might as well get a little extra out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And especially when it's those simple tasks, like changing a belt, changing out a pump, you know, any of those like simple fixes, swapping out a computer board. If you watch them how to do it, then a lot of times you can pick it up, and if it's a quick fix, you know, might be worth it for you to do it. But some people prefer to just pay for it to be done.
Yeah. Some people prefer to pay. The only thing we can't get back is time. So
that's it. Yeah, that's it. All right, cool. Well, tell me how many hours are you spending at your laundromat now?
Honestly, probably about 10 to 15 a week. I would say 4 to 5 of that is just doing little projects. I do like to go down there and project it late at night and, you know, try to improve on things. I just recently bought a new vending machine, so I've been going down there and trying to work on it because I've got to cut some stuff and, you know, make it work for me, and I don't want to cut around customers. So,
yeah. So obviously, you bought one that you needed to fix, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes your YouTube channel name perfect. Well, I want to talk about the YouTube channel in just a second, but before we get to that, I wanted to ask. What do you have any goals for your laundromat, or do you want to get more laundromats, or do you want to do some other thing? What's the future looking like for you? Have you thought much about that?
I've been actively looking for laundromats for the past year. What my plan is, and planning and doing is two different things. I planned on a totally different setup for my podcast today, and every bit of that fell through. 3 hours of planning fell through. But what we'd like to do is, you know, get us some more laundromats, really build that out. I've tried buying my parents' laundromats. They won't sell them to me. But we want to build that out, get back into real estate once the market calms down. Right now it's too hot. At least in my neck of the woods, house is going way higher than they should. Mm-hmm. But that just makes my house more valuable. So I'm not going to complain about that, but
that's right.
I've been actively looking. Exactly. I've been actively looking almost every day, for laundromats. We probably about 3 months ago, we're working on a deal on a closed laundromat. Bank owned it. Somebody, you know, the way we had it structured, the way the broker had it structured is we were going to come in, buy it 0% out of our pocket. They were going to give us an interest-free loan for 10 years. It was just, you know, once a bank holds on to something so long, they're ready to get rid of it. And they just so happened to have a cash buyer come in and bought it cash for, I think, 50 some thousand less than what we were going to give them. So,
jeez.
Yeah. So, and yesterday I was supposed to meet with an owner of two laundromats, which I've been working on this guy for, I would say, a year and a half now. Just calling him. I started in 6 month intervals. Then I dropped it down to 3 month intervals. Cause at first he kind of seemed annoyed with me. And just don't let that phase you.
That's
just
right.
Keep on powering through it.
Perseverance.
Exactly. Then I dropped it down to, I think monthly, and now we're on weekly. He said he'd been sick and couldn't do it. But, the last time I called him before yesterday, he said, you know, because I asked him, I said, have you thought about it any? Are you ready to sell? He's like, you know, I might. And he said, I'll tell you what. And he actually gave me a price for the building of one and two laundromats. So I think he's getting motivated. I drive by sometimes and you can see those little post-it notes on the machines that say out of order. You don't even have to go in the place to see how many machines are out. So
yeah,
he's starting to get frustrated with it. And I think he's ready to retire. So hopefully that'll go through.
Time to up it to daily calls now and work that price down. That's awesome. All right. So you're trying to get some more, you want to get some real estate too, and kind of expand your portfolio. That's awesome. All right. Well, I mean, I'm curious. I don't know if anybody else is curious, but I'm curious. Tell me about this YouTube channel. What made you start it? And yeah, well, let's start there. What made you start it?
Roughly a year ago. I was fixing everything. And I just started thinking, you know, well, maybe I could put a camera on me while I'm doing this stuff. And some people might be interested in seeing it. And some of the things I started doing was quarter collections. I seen Brandon from Investment Joy doing that. And I calmed down on the, I think I calmed down on the quarter collections. It's very hard to keep a conversation going with yourself while you collect quarters. I wanted to be able to show people, you know, some of those are easy fixes and some of the hard fixes, which now I wouldn't call a Baron job a hard fix. It's just a little time consuming. But I just wanted to, it's never been about, hey, I'd like to become a famous YouTube star. Because just like this, the laundromat forums and stuff, there's a community there on YouTube. I mean, mm-hmm. I've got people that off YouTube or from YouTube that know my general area, and they see a laundromat deal and they'll email me. So
that's awesome.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I bet there's just going to be more and more opportunities coming your way from doing that, because you're, I don't know. I think you're providing not just, well, like I said, it's infotainment. It's not just entertaining content, although it is entertaining content, but there's also a lot of really good information in there. I think people really appreciate people who do that, who are trying to help other people out and do it in a way that's easy to watch. It's entertaining. So I bet you'll get a lot of opportunities coming your way. Have you enjoyed it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's no cakewalk, keeping up and trying to get a video out every week. There's been a couple of weeks that I missed it. You'd think it'd be just turning the camera on and go, but it's not that easy. When I started, I thought it'd be super simple. Just turn the camera on and fry, you know, but, I finally got halfway decent equipment. So, you know, you can hear me and can see me halfway decent.
So. Yeah, no, it's a lot more work than I think most people think. If you've never made a video or even the podcast, you know, it takes so much effort and work and so many hours. And it's just an audio mostly. Like, it goes on YouTube, but I don't do a whole lot of video editing with it. That video editing can take a long time. So,
oh yeah, for sure. And then you're putting yourself out there for people to, I mean, they judge you. Leave the mean comments. I think for 4 or 5 videos, I did videos with a missing tooth, and I mean, it was one of my front teeth. It was obvious as all that. I'll get out.
Yeah. Did you get comments about that one?
I don't know if I did or not. I did. But every time my wife would watch my videos, she'd make a comment about my missing tooth.
I'm going to go back and comment on one of your videos about your tooth. That's funny. Yeah, cool. All right. So, you've been doing the YouTube stuff and kind of growing your community over there. Again, I'm going to link to his YouTube channel. It's called There I Fixed It. That way you can go check it out, because he's got a lot of cool laundromat related things. And also, I will say, if you're looking for a little bit of a behind the scenes on what it's like to own a laundromat, you get some of that too with his videos, which is pretty,
that's
pretty cool.
That's one thing I wanted to show is, you know, I didn't want to hide the parts that are just, you know, beyond you. There was one day I come in and I had horse hair. Someone had come in and washed like 4 loads of horse hair or horse blankets. And literally there was horse hair all over the floors. Mm-hmm. Like, it changed the color of my floors. So, I mean, there's just, you name it, it's happened. I've seen it happen. Just, you know, but I love the laundry industry. It's one of those things you take with it, but I wanted to be able to show that real side of things.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. I love that. And I appreciate that because, again, I mean, we kind of mentioned this already, but I think a lot of people get into this thing thinking it's going to be a cakewalk, and it's, you know, and relatively speaking, it's not crazy difficult, but man, stuff happens. And the stuff that's happened in my laundromats, I'm sure in your laundromats, I'm sure in everybody's laundromat who owns one, like, some of that stuff, you just can't make it up. And I've had people tell me multiple times, like, man, you got to make a show, like a TV show about this, because it's like just the craziest stuff that happens. So,
yeah, I don't see how there's not a reality show yet.
There's gotta
be. I'm right now dealing with somebody that keeps coming in and stealing my soap. So, yeah, it's just, it happens.
I've been there, man. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. Well, cool. So I want to get into, a little bit about your business. We have a little section called Down to Business.
Let's get down to business. Over and out.
And that's just where we talk about some of the details of your business. So tell us again, where is your laundromat located?
We're about an hour from Knoxville, Northeast. Knoxville, Tennessee.
Cool. And I got tons of family back there in Knoxville and back up in the hills up there. So familiar with that area a little bit. So pretty cool. All right. And you have one laundromat. Do you have any real estate now, like rental real estate, or have you gotten rid of
that? No, I let a tenant leave a bad taste in my mouth and just decided, you know, we were going to sell that particular property. I regret it ever since. But fortunately, it went to someone that I know very well, and they're great people, and they got it on a great deal. So but we'll eventually get back into real estate.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common story with rental real estate. You know, you get a bad tenant and man, just that frustration that you can feel and that it causes in you, man, it can really put a sour taste in your mouth. You know, at some point you got to get back on the horse, right?
After going laundromats for 3 years, I mean, you're basically renting out your washers and dryers. So It ends up being the same thing. You know, I think I've built my tolerance up a little bit better.
Yeah. You know what? And that's actually a really good and really interesting point. Just to keep it on like a serious note, actually one of the big things that I've taken away from owning laundromats is I have a much higher tolerance for things like from everything from early on. You know, I had never missed like a bill payment before. And early on when I was bleeding money left and right, sometimes I'd have like a water bill come through and I was like, there's like no money to pay it. So I'm just like, I'm gonna have to pay it when I can. And you know, I was like freaking out that I was like missing a water bill. You know, it was going to be like 5 days late or whatever. And now I'm like, well, you know, they'll be fine. You know, like I'll pay them when I can pay them and they'll be okay. You know?
Yeah. I hate being late. I like things to be on time, no matter what. So I always find a way somehow. My wife, she does all the bills. So she's a little bit more laid back than I am. So I stress a little bit over that, but she always comes through.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too, man. I'm always on auto pay as often as I can for everything. And mostly that's just cause I'm lazy, but even like things like I'll have, you know, somebody would like graffiti on my folding table or something. And I would just be like so stressed out about it. And now I'm like, no big deal. I'll go get some of that graffiti remover. It'll come right off. No big deal. Like my tolerance has grown tremendously.
Yeah. Now mine is when I walk in and see something out like that, I just pull out the camera and say, "Hey guys, look at this."
Yeah.
You know, you're going to enjoy this one. Yeah. Basically, that's kind of what I thought the other day when I got broke into. I was like, "Oh, there's me some content," but it's actually an excuse to buy me a new vending machine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You kind of want things to go south now. No, just kidding. All right. So we already talked about this, but you've been in the business basically 13 years and you've owned your own laundromat for 3, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, can you tell us about, give us ballpark maybe, what does it cost to do loads of laundry where you're at?
Right now, our biggest machine, which is a 60 pounder, is $650. Mm-hmm. You step down to our 40 pounders, I think we're doing $450 on those. Mm-hmm. I just raised my horizons to $3, and I made an entire video about that. I only have 4 of them, and I'm not the biggest fan of them. Never really have been, but they're so easy to over soap, and I'm not there to tell people to calm down on the soap. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, let's make it worth my time. I'm going to raise the price by 75 cents. If they continue to use it, you know, at least I'll benefit from it. And honestly, I think the usage went up.
So, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
My top loader's at $225. I like to, when I raise my prices, I like to try to do something. Like my vending prices have been the same forever. But when I got the new vending machine, you know, it was an excuse for me to raise my prices. You know, up next is I need to touch up some paint, but I'm going to redo the bathroom. Absolutely hate that bathroom. But I'm going to redo the bathroom, solid tile, you know, make it real nice, kind of to match the outside of the laundromat. At least I think my laundromat's nice. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that ugly kid. I think somebody out there loves it. You know, I think when I do that, then that'll be an excuse to raise my top loaders. The only real reason that I don't want to raise any of the other prices right now is we're still coin only. So we're looking at some other options to get in there. That way, you know, you're not having to put $7, $8 worth of quarters in a machine.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of quarters. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What you took... Took that question right out of my mouth. You're coin only. Are you attended, or I mean, I'm assuming you're unattended and you're doing the the cleaning and everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're completely unattended. And the reason why we started unattended, it was something me and my wife discussed. We don't like to be bothered when we go to the store. We use self-checkout. We do, you know, everything ourselves that we can. You know, I wouldn't even say that we're introverts. We just, you know, and I kind of thought that the same way. You know, I didn't want someone in there to bug them. I didn't want to be there. She didn't want to be there bugging our attendants. And I wouldn't say that, or not bugging our attendants, but bugging our customers. And I wouldn't say that attendants bug customers, but, you know, most of the machines are self-explanatory. And that's mostly the customers I want is, you know, customers that know how to come in, you know, read the instructions on the machine, use the machine, and, you know.
Yeah, and not put soap in every available compartment of those horizons and clog everything up.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite is they put soap in a machine that they never even put any clothes in and then just go on about the business.
Yeah. Yeah. I also love when they put the Tide Pods in those little pull-out drawers and you're like...
Or anything. Oh. I always get them in the top of my soap boxes. I hate Tide Pods.
Yeah, right. I know.
I had thought about putting them in the vending machines and I just thought that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm going to have to deal with.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And even those Horizons, sometimes they get like the plastic, like the stuff gets stuck in the door seal thing. It's all gooey and you got to like scoop it out. It's gross.
Well, I had one where, anytime I have like a water leak or anything, I'll go back and look on my cameras because I'm able to see the entire laundromat and see kind of what caused the problem. I had a mess in front of my Horizons. Like it went all the way across the store. And I looked back on it and they had started their load and there was a waterfall coming out of the soap tray. And I guess they had put that Tide Pod in there just in the perfect spot to where it wouldn't let any water drain into that machine.
Jesus.
Yeah. So.
Oh, man. The stories. We could probably go on forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how many hours do you say you spend at your laundromat or working on your laundromat?
Roughly 10 to 15. It just depends on what's going on and what I have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean,
I've tried to buy stuff to, you know, make my job easier. You know, like mopping. You're already pushing around a dirty mop. So I ended up buying me a floor scrubber, and that was probably one of the best decisions I'd made. I can clean the entire laundromat within about 5 to 8 minutes with 1 gallon. Yeah, with 1 gallon of water and just maybe a cup of soap. So that really saved me time.
What did that cost you?
It cost me, by the time it was all said and done, I bought it for $200, used and broke, of course.
Naturally.
It was used and broke. It had a wheel broke off of it. I fixed it. And I had to buy 2 marine batteries, which was like $150. So about $400 altogether.
Okay. That's not bad, man, to get the whole store, you know, mopped up, cleaned up in less than 10 minutes, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It saves time. So that's the thing that was most important.
Yeah. That's huge. I'm gonna have to look into that. It's a good tip. What are your floors? What kind of floors do you have?
They're flaked epoxy.
Okay.
Yeah. We had originally had tile in there. And I don't know, they had carpet glue down before. They never took the carpet glue up. They grouted over it and put tile down. And literally I used to have Maytag Neptunes in there. Mm-hmm. I had one spinning out and I had 2 tiles just pop up into a T or into an angle. And then from there, we just decided to redo it. And it honestly took us no more than an hour, maybe an hour and a half to rip the entire laundromat up of all the tile that was supposedly, you know, grouted down.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was terrible. And where there had been so many floods, there was mildew under it. It was the reason why it smelled so bad in there, but yeah, we did the epoxy, and which we did it ourselves, of course. But that's probably one of the best decisions we've done. My wife hates it, but she don't have to clean it all the time.
Yeah. Does she help out at all? Or is it just you doing stuff?
She does the bills. she was helping out. And then she got, you know, we got pregnant, and then COVID happened. She got pregnant. So I forced her to stay home that way. You know, she wasn't exposed, but she ended up getting it anyway, somehow.
Oh, geez. So, she okay?
Yeah. We both went through it and had it already and moved on with our life. So,
oh yeah. You have a video about that. So
I had to, that's right. I had to call a friend of mine and, I said, hey, I've got COVID. You come get the keys and take care of the laundromat for me. And sure enough, you know, we come through. And that's another thing. It pays to have somebody that's already familiar with your business. He had already took care of us before when we went on vacation. So It was a great resource because I had it, my wife had it, my parents had it, and everyone around us that we knew had it. So it was one of those things.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing you had that friend. Serious question. Do you think your wife got pregnant just to get out of cleaning the laundromat?
I think so.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
She likes those midnight, you know, or 3 a.m. phone calls, you know, hey, I lost 25 cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will you come down here and give it back to me?
Well, who doesn't like those? Yeah.
Exactly.
I look forward to those every night. The nights I don't get those, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, you think something's wrong.
Yeah, right. That's funny. All right. We have a section called Secret Sauce.
Listen up. It's the Secret Sauce.
Secret Sauce is just, hey, do you have any tips? Something maybe that's working for your business that other laundromat owners can implement into their businesses to help them find greater success?
The number one easiest and free, completely free thing to do is keep it clean. No matter, you know, that's if you've got top loaders, they get nasty little spots in them. Keep them clean. Keep your soap trays clean. Just keep the overall laundromat super clean. And even if you have old equipment, people's going to want to go to the place that's clean. And another one is use all this technology out there to your advantage. Just recently, I purchased two cameras that have two-way communication. They have 355-degree field of motion, 110 up and down. So, you know, use all that technology out there that's available to you. And you can take an older machine and make it into a new one. That was something we found out quick is we were getting those phone calls. Hey, you know, this cycle's been going through for like an hour now. And there's no water filling up. And of course it's that underwire brawl. I went through. Yeah, exactly. I went through and put relays on them that way, or installed relays in them that way. I could just click it off from my house and, you know, they could just switch their clothes over and we can send them a refund out. We send them a refund out for their, you know, wash and their original wash. That way we, you know, that customer feels like we took care of them. So
do you have a video on putting those relays in? I feel like people would watch that video.
I don't know. I've still got one machine. I've still got one machine to do. I was doing it in the middle of the day and I didn't turn the electric off. Always turn your power off. I didn't turn the electric off and I sent 220 all the way through a circuit board and fried the board.
Yikes.
And so, yeah, I've not got around to finishing that, but that's a good idea for a video. I might finish that one up because I was thinking that the other day, you know, hey, I really need to fix that machine because that's going to be the machine that messes up.
Yep. Yeah. So if for nothing else, you got to subscribe to his YouTube channel so you can learn how to put relays in on your machine so you can shut them off for customers when those pesky bra underwires, the bane of my existence in laundromats, you know.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen and it's probably going to happen often. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had two of them do it in the same night. So,
oh gosh,
it's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Awesome secret sauce. Next section is called Pro Tips. Pro Tips is for the people who are trying to buy their first laundromat. What tips do you have for them?
Stop thinking about it and just do it. And then another one is don't convince yourself that a bad deal is a good deal. Because in the end, a bad deal is still a bad deal. You're gonna regret it, and it might not be something you come out floating on. So,
That is a huge, huge pro tip right there. And I see this all the time where people get stuck on a deal and, you know, I'll watch people find a deal. They, for whatever reason, have fallen in love with it. They've convinced themselves it's got a lot of potential, or somebody has convinced them it's got a lot of potential. They'll ask around people who are in the industry, people who've been there, who've done that. And when they get advice that, hey, maybe this is one to pass on, or, you know, maybe you need to structure this deal a different way because it's not what you think it is, and they explain it away in their own minds and go through with it anyways. It's a recipe for pain. I'll tell you that from experience. My first long.
Oh, yeah.
The recipe for pain.
Yeah. I argue with myself a lot when I convince myself I want to buy something or that's going to be right for me. And I finally, you know, I always talk it over with my wife, and she's usually my weight that keeps me down. So it keeps me level headed. So if it's a bad deal, usually she can pinpoint that for me.
Yeah, it's nice to have that kind of 1-2 teamwork there.
Yeah.
Two perspectives. Yeah,
don't let yourself just make the decision. At least get someone else involved to look at it, because sometimes the heart wants what it wants, but it ain't right.
Mm-hmm. Man, that was deep right there. That was real deep. Man, let's just let that sink in for a second.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's one of them quotes you put on a shirt.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Hey, do you have any resources you would recommend for, you know, anyone in the industry or getting in to help them improve their business or to improve personally?
Get on the Facebook forums. They're really good. They're full of chock full of information. Someone's almost, but by now, already asked a question that you're going to ask. Just recently with the whole people breaking into our vending machines, this dude that's probably, well, he's in Knoxville. He joined one of the Facebook groups, started sharing about it. And I was like, okay, that's the same people that, you know, robbed us. And we were able to get together. They've already found out this woman's name, whole nine yards. So, I mean, yeah, definitely get on the forums. You've really got a good thing going with the Laundromat Resource, the podcast forums. Just the forums is free information pretty much. Cause there's a lot of people with, really, really talented people, really high up in the, industry. Like, you know, you're talking multiple store owners. Luke's on there. Mm-hmm. He's got 37. What is it? 38 stores now.
3,800. I don't know.
Just, and yeah. you ask these people questions, and I mean, you're getting hundreds of responses sometimes. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, but you know, the answers to some of these questions, they're worth like tangible dollars, right? Like yeah. These people have learned how to make these businesses legit. And so, man, tap into their experience and their wisdom, and benefit from it, and let your customers benefit from it too. You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got a problem, I mean, most time you post it up there, you can either, especially like if it's a physical problem, somebody's bound to send you a video of how to fix it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of awesome people helping out there. Very cool. Awesome recommended resources. I have just one other question that's unrelated to pretty much anything else. Do you have a favorite one of your own YouTube videos? Like if somebody was like, hey, I have time to watch one of your videos, which is the one you think they should watch?
Oh, that's a tough one. One, my memory is terrible. that's why I have to, whenever I edit my videos together, I have to watch the whole thing. I have to watch every clip. But let's see here. I really did enjoy my vending one last time, just recently. But yeah, I'd probably go with my vending one or the one about me having COVID. I thought it did pretty well.
Awesome. I'm going to link to both of those. So if anybody only has time to watch one video for the rest of your life, I don't know, maybe you're on your deathbed, watch one of these two. I'll link it below, the vending machine one and the quarantine one. Man, Jacob, this has been awesome. Not just to hear your story and to hear all your wisdom, but in some ways I kind of feel like I'm chatting with a star here, and I appreciate you taking the time and coming on and sharing your story and wisdom here, but also for doing that for everyone on your YouTube channel. So thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh yeah. I appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah. And we'll chat again. Yeah. We'll chat again soon. And maybe we should, do some kind of collab on YouTube one of these days and make it fun for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Sounds good, man. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Oh man, that was such a cool episode. I loved talking with Jacob. I love what he's doing, not just with his laundromat, but also with his YouTube channel. Somebody who's on YouTube myself. I love to see other people doing it, and he's doing it a little bit different than me. And he's got more of that, you know, that infotainment than I have. And I love that. I love getting a sneak peek inside his laundromat. So cool. Definitely subscribe to him if you haven't yet. Link again is down in the description or in the podcast description or on the show notes at laundromatresource.com/show38. So make sure you do that. Every week I want all of us, myself included, to take away one thing that we are going to implement this week, because when we start stacking those things on each other, we get better and better. So my one takeaway, I want you to choose one for you, steal mine, take your own, whatever it is, put it into action. My one takeaway, I loved what he said in the pro tip. He said, stop thinking about it and do it. And I loved that. Stop thinking about it and do it. And for me, it's not about buying my first laundromat, obviously, but for me, I'm thinking about all the things in my life and in with Laundromat Resource and all this stuff that I want to do. And I just, you know, it was an awesome reminder for me, stop thinking about it so hard and just do it. You know, get your plan in place and then do it. Take the action, take the scary step, even though it's super scary, even though you don't really know what the path is gonna be down the rest of the way. You don't know what's around that first bend. Just take the step and do it. And man, again, I say it all the time, action paves the way to success. So this week, make sure you take some action wherever you're at on your journey. If you're trying to buy your first laundromat, take some action. If you already own one laundromat, take some action. If you own multiple laundromats, take some action. And we'll see you again next week. All right, peace.